won't hold any water. Now may the Lord add his blessings. I'm not going to keep you long tonight, but notice this verse again, if you would please. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is pointing out here in creation itself, that mankind cannot look at the stars and the heavens. They can't look around them, and their conscience tells them there is a creator. It really doesn't matter to me what the atheists say. I was reading some of John Phillips before I came up here, and I'm trying to get this right. And this scientist was talking to a student, and he said, we're going to take away everything that would make y'all think there is a God. And the student replied, you better pull the stars down. Because even looking in the heavens, we know that there is a God. And I believe God puts it in the eye. Again, I'm not talking about man's born with light as far as there's some goodness in man. We know man's depraved, but the Bible talks about the conscience of man, and God gave them us that. And God put it in us, that conscience, to know that there is a creator. Now, you can defute it, you can deny it, but it's in you. Now, I ain't going to argue with you about it because I know I have to argue about it. Because you know what? I'm not going to argue and try to change your mind. There's no sense you trying to change my mind either. God has placed his truth all around us. Now, Psalm 19, you don't have to turn. I think I have it marked in Psalm 19 in the first six verses. The Bible says this, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God's revelation of himself is so strong and clear that every ration of every creature is bound to acknowledge him. Now, I wrote some things down by way of introduction, and my introduction and my message is probably equal in length. But I wrote these things down. Now, notice areas where God's person is on display. I'm going to try to read my writing. Think of the seed that becomes a mighty tree. That's amazing to me. The seed that becomes a mighty tree. Birds that are able to navigate by the stars. I read this a while ago. A bird, you can put it in a windowless room and paint stars and everything, and that bird still won't know what direction to go. That's amazing. They are giant telescopes that can view objects that are over 4 billion light years away. That is a distance. And I'm going to try to say this, 25 million septillion miles. A septillion is a number with 24 zeros behind it. It amazed me too, buddy. Hey, that's his way of saying amen, preacher. Some of y'all won't say amen. These youngins will. Y'all say, if I could say it like that, I would. You can't say it like that. I'm talking about over 4 billion light years away. Folks, I'm not trying not to get ahead of myself. At any given instant, there are over 1,800 storms in operation at any given time. Get a hold of this. I'm going to try to read this right. It takes 1.3 billion of horsepower, of energy horsepower, to create and sustain those storms. Get that. At any given instant, there are over 1,800 storms in operation at any given time, and it takes 1.3 billion horsepower of energy to create and sustain those storms at any given time. Get this. There are over 10 million species of insects in the world, and I hate all of them. Earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6 million tons, and hangs on nothing. Septillion has 24 zeros behind it. Let me back up. 6,588,000 tons and hangs on nothing. Septillion, 24 zeros. Sextillion, 21 zeros. That's a lot of tons, Hoss. And it hangs on nothing. It hangs on nothing. Wow. It spins 1,000 miles per hour in an absolute precision and goes around the sun at the speed of 1,000 miles per minute in a yearly orbit that is 580 billion miles long. And millions of people want to deny the existence of God that created every bit of this. Now, I'm going to use some strong language. Are you that dumb to actually believe that all this, and I didn't even touch the hem, is here because bang, there it was. Everything running in order. Folks, you understand, if they wasn't a creator, this thing wouldn't run right. If it was just here by chance, then by chance, it'd all fall apart. If one bang made it, another bang could kill it. Get a hold of that. Think about that. You want to deny the existence of God and the God, and Him being the creator of the universe, and that He's the master of it, and He put everything perfect in its place, and He's operating all these years in perfection? The only things in disarray is what man has touched. The only thing out of whack is what man is fooled with, but all the creation of God and how things grow and how things move and how things are from God, and they've been working perfectly all these years. And why in the world would you want to make an excuse to say there is not a God? This is a silly illustration, but these scientist was talking to God and said, we're going to prove to the world that we have the same ability that you have. And the way we're going to do that, we're going to create a man. God said, okay. And they went to load up some dirt and he said, hold it, you got to use your own dirt. Man can't even create dirt, much less a man. Only God can take dirt, build a man, breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became an eternal living soul. From dirt, from the dust of the ground, he formed us, and then he breathed in us, and now you and I possess a never dying soul. These old bodies die, but this soul never dies. Because God breathed the breath of life in man. So, here's my simple thought. And you think God cannot save you for the little issue that's in your life. In the words of the great mountain preacher, Brother Landon Rice, come on. Come on. I feel like somebody's watching tonight. And you've already got it settled in your mind that you cannot get saved because God cannot work with you because of the flaw, because of the sin, because of whatever it is, and the excuses you're making for not getting saved, Satan has planted them there. You think it's real, and it's just an excuse that will not hold water, and you don't have to deal with that. God will still save you if he's big enough to do everything we done mentioned. And he is, and he did. You're saving your soul with all your baggage and all of your past, and all of your mistakes, and all of your upbringing, and your whatever your last name may be. You say, well, I'm from a heritage of no counts. All of us are. My crazy daddy, I love him. But Billy, he said, I don't know if it's true, but he said that his grandpa liked the hobo trains. Y'all know what that means? And my daddy said, for years, I've just had it in me wanting to hobo a train. I said, just get in your car and go somewhere. You ain't got to steal jump on a train without a ticket. He said, I believe that was passed. I said, yeah, corruption, dishonesty, thievery. Oh, yeah, that's passed down. Come on. God saved him. No, hey, well, preacher, I'd like to get in. I'd like to get saved. But you don't know what my life has been like. You don't know where I've been. Quit making those excuses. If God can do everything that he's done, how he created everything, done everything, your obstacle is no problem. Whatever your mindset is that's keeping you in the pew or keeping you unsaved, whatever the devil, hey, he's a liar and the father of it. God is big enough. Amen. He's big enough. Amen. Put him to the test. Yes, sir. Try him out. That's right. Put him to the test. Go for it. Right. Let him prove to you. At least have the guts to say, hey, well, I'm going to see what he can do. He'll show you. He'll show you what he can do. He can take a train wreck. I'm talking about of your life. And preacher, my life's a train wreck. I understand that. When a train hits something, it does wreck it. And things go into a zillion pieces. But God can go to every piece. Whoop. He can go to every piece. You said, preacher, I'm in such a shamble. My life is such a mess and a million pieces. He said, I don't even know where the pieces are. He knows where they are. He'll go get the pieces and he'll pick up the pieces and he'll pick up the pieces. He'll say, hey, over here where you didn't know a piece went, he'll grab the piece over there and he'll pick up, whoop, he'll pick up a piece over here. He'll pick up, whoa, glory. He'll pick up a piece over there and he'll begin to mold you and make you and put it all back together and make you better than you ever been in your life. That's what the blood of Jesus can do. That's what the grace of God can do. And there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Amen. There's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Glory. So, man, don't make me read all this, try to say all that again in left-handed handwriting. And under the time clock. But God's able. Man, look all he done. Look around us. How in the world can these evolutionists and these God deniers and by the way, I don't even believe in atheists. I don't believe in one exists only by name. They're by name, but they ain't practicing. Not in their mind, they're not practicing. I told this a million times. An atheist telling a man, there ain't no God. There's no God. No such thing as God. And he said, well, go outside and cuss him. He said, you think I'm crazy? Look up into heaven and cuss him out. No, no. Because God put it in his conscience, there's a God. He put it in his conscience, there's a God. Look at that verse again. Let me read that verse again. Think about it. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, here's some of the excuses. Here's some of the excuses. I told you I was going to be brief. Here's some of the excuses that are made, and here's what God says about them. Now, folks, there's two kinds of excuses, good ones and bad ones, but they're all the same excuses. Well, preacher, I'd like to get saved, but I'm just not good enough. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, by the way, you're right, you're not. And you're right, none of us are. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. For that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said, I'm the chief. And God saved me to show a pattern, an example. God to save him, God to save anybody. Folks, I believe as far as acts of sin, I believe Paul told it right, brother, that he actually was the chief of sinners. Sure. I don't believe he was just saying it. You don't either, do you? Paul said, of sinners I am chief. And he was self-righteous. He was a self-righteous sinner. Right. And he said, God save me and show a pattern. Preach, I'm just not worthy. No, you're not, but he'll still save you.
Right.
Folks, the only thing that made us all worthy is the blood of Jesus.
Right.
The grace of God's the only thing that made any of us worthy. Folks, you get to thinking you're worthy of what you have. You're not worthy of what you have.
Right.
He's worthy.
Right.
So if you're watching tonight, Don't tell me you can't get saved. God saved the worst sinner ever as far as acts of sin goes. He saved Paul.
Right.
Now you tell me he'll save somebody worse than you as far as acts of sin, but he won't save you? That don't even make sense. That excuse don't work. Let's go to something else. Not good enough, preacher. Number two, I can't hold out. I'd like to get saved, preacher, but I won't be able to hold out. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Right.
What's that saying? You can't hold out. God holds you in.
Amen.
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 Do you understand the position of our life when we get saved? The Bible says we're in the hand of God, we're in the hand of Christ, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. How are you getting out of that? I'm not on His hand, I'm in it. I'm in the hand of God, in the hand of Jesus, and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. You can't lose that. You can't lose that. So here's what the devil's telling you. Go ahead and get saved. There ain't no sense. You're going to lose it before you get out the door. Mm-mm. True salvation comes with a seal.
Yes, sir. Sure does.
And you're in Christ now.
Right.
Folks, sin separated us. Sin caused us one day to walk afar off. But the blood of Christ brought us nigh to God. Sin separated us. You understand that? You understand we was born separated from God? Everybody here, born separated from God. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We say, but God. Through Jesus Christ. give us the opportunity through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, to be brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Hello. I've used this old illustration 100,000 times, but it's been a couple years. We got some new people now. They need to hear it. December the 12th. 1969. I was born the son of Charles and Shirley Turner. They struck out three times with three girls, but praise God. I hope they're watching. One of my sisters is with the Lord. Little grave down at a little church near Lake Bowen. Just got a picture of her. But one day the resurrection's going to happen. But I was born. My dad's blood flows through me. You know what? Growing up, and this ain't braggadocious, because, man, I wish I could go back and apologize for a lot. I done a lot of stuff growing up that broke fellowship with my daddy and my mama. Broke fellowship, but never did it break sonship, because of that blood covenant, that blood. Are you listening to me? Folks, August of 1983, I got born again. And I've done a lot, Brother Jonathan, displease my earthly father, and I've done a lot to displease my heavenly father. As a matter of fact, I displease him more than I wish I have and do. And they've been fellowship broken. Preacher, how you know? Because when fellowship would be broken between me and my parents, there was a grieving there. It was uncomfortable. I didn't like it. And when I displease the Lord, there's a grieving of the Spirit there.
That's right. Sure is.
The joy of the Lord zapped. It's zapped. Folks, I think about David sometime. This isn't my message, but I think about David sometime when he sinned with Bathsheba and all that happened. Then murder and then all that stuff. And in that penitent prayer, he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thyself." Can any of y'all just off the top of your head how long it went from the time he committed those sins to the time Nathan rebuked him? Do y'all know off the top of your head?
More than a year.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Check it. I thought it was at least a year. I didn't want to blurt it out. So if I'm wrong, you're wrong. Amen. Amen. And he went on about his life. But not one day of it was a joy.
Not
one day of it was there any joy. He had pleasure, but didn't have joy. I didn't say he didn't have fun, but in his heart didn't have joy until he got it right. And he asked for restoration.
Right.
Not rebirth, he asked for restoration. Get a hold of that. He didn't ask for rebirth. He'd done been born again. He asked for restoration.
Right.
Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And folks, I believe that moment it was restored. Now he had to live with the sword against his family. That you know that ewe lamb story that Nathan told him. Four of his little lambs. But I believe he got his joy back. I'm telling you, Christian, hey, we're not holding out. We're not enduring to the end. God's got us. Let me hurry. I'm not good enough. I can't hold out. I'm too young. Preach, I'd like to get saved, but I'm too young. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. God will save you young. I'm too old, preacher. I done pass the age. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He's not willing that any perish of any age.
Amen.
Preacher, I young people, you listen to this one. Young people, listen to this one. If I get saved, I'll lose my friends. I can't do that. Luke chapter 18, 29, 30. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in the present, in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
God's good at replacing people in your life. Now, you let him do the replacing. Because most time you do the replacing, it's going to be still the wrong one. Oh, I can't live without their friendship. Sure you can. If you need to get saved, well, I'd like to get saved, but my friends, they'll ostracize me. They'll turn their back on me. They'll walk away from me. You know what? They probably will. But don't go to hell over that. God will bring people back in your life. Come on. He'll put can I say it like this? Real friends in your life. As a matter of fact, well, I got... Anybody tells you, I got 10 friends. No, you don't.
Right.
True friends.
Right.
Folks, if we can get out of this life with one or two true friends, we've been blessed.
That's right.
But don't ever say I'm not getting saved because my friends won't understand and my friends might leave me. Yeah, they might. But down the road, you might lead them to Jesus. And your friendship be even stronger. But if they don't come to Christ, God will give you some friends that are real. Here's another good excuse, another true excuse. There's hypocrites in the church. Ain't that the truth? What does the Bible say? Romans 14, 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Quit worrying about everybody else.
Right.
Folks, do you understand that the church is made up of imperfect people that's been saved by God's grace and still have to fight the flesh, the devil, and the world every day?
Amen.
No excuses of failing God, but I'm just telling you, if you're waiting on perfection before you get saved in others, that ain't happening.
Right.
That's not going to happen. There's no such animal on this earth.
Right.
Positionally, we're perfect in Christ.
Amen.
Practically, we're still in this flesh.
Amen.
We still have to fight it. But forget all of that. Hey, quit using that as an excuse to go to hell over. I've heard this, well, if that's a Christian, the woods is full of them. I'm all right. Yeah, but you're still going to give account of yourself to God. That's sad to say that, but it's... That preacher ain't worth 2 cents. Well, he might not be, but you're still going to give account of yourself to God.
Amen.
That Christian beat me out of a deal, out of a business deal, beat me out of money. Well, that's sorry, and he shouldn't have done it, but you're still going to give account of yourself to God.
Amen.
The priest messed up. He may did, but you're still going to give account of yourself to God.
Amen.
My Sunday school teacher lied. Well, they may have, but you're still going to give account of yourself to God. Get a hold of that. Everybody here is going to stand before God at one of two judgments. The judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, not for our salvation, but for our deeds, for our works, or the white throne judgment, those that are not saved, and the books will be open. The book of remembrance, the book of life, and the Bible.
Amen.
They'll be open. The Bible said, if your name's not found in the Lamb's book of life, then you're going to the lake of fire.
Right.
And you're going to give account of yourself to God. It doesn't matter. If you stand before God at the white throne judgment and you rejected Christ, and you can turn around and point to 20 Christians that wasn't what they ought to be to you, oh, they probably lose reward over it, but it ain't gonna stop them from going to heaven, because you got to give account of yourself to God. You better get a hold of that. Now, if finding fault in Christians is what helps you sleep at night, I hope this is what keeps you up at night. You still going to give account of yourself to God.
Amen.
Now, I hope the Spirit of God combats your thinking with that truth. You still going to give account of yourself to God. Folks, get a hold of that. Somebody's watching, get a hold of that. It doesn't matter how much fault you find in Christians or preachers or Sunday school teachers or whoever. And it's awful. We ought to do right. I ought to do right. You ought to do right. And if we do wrong, get it right. However, you're still going to give account of yourself to God. You better get saved. You better get in. Amen and amen. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Court. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed, the altar's open. Whatever your need is, God can help you if you need the altar.